Working to cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Pure as water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus. Trust in you.
Hello, friends. God bless you. Thank you for joining our Unleavened Bread Bible study. Let's ask the Lord to bless us, okay? Father, we need your grace. We need your understanding, Lord. God, there's so much deception out there. There is so much delusion. So many of our brethren see so very little of the things that are coming upon this world. And Lord, we just ask you to have mercy. We ask you to pour out your grace. Yes, and even bring chastening, whatever's necessary, Lord, because obviously we're running out of time. And we just ask for your mercy among your people, and a great outpouring of your Holy Spirit, and a great outpouring of your true unleavened bread, Lord, to wake your people up and to bring them into the kingdom and to let Christ live in them. And God, we're just thanking you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, brethren, we've been talking about bearing fruit. We've been talking about the first fruits and the ingathering harvests that are coming. And I want to go to Haggai and share something with you there that the Lord's spoken to me about for quite a while. I believe these things are happening right now in the book of Haggai. These are happening all around us, if we can just see what's going on. It says, in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Zerubbabel, his name actually means born from Babylon. And he represents the first fruits that lead God's people to rebuild the foundation of the temple. And, of course, working with him is Joshua, which in our New Testament is the name Jesus. And it wouldn't surprise you that he would have Jesus working with him, would you? In verse 2, it says, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, It's not the time for us to come, the time for the Lord's house to be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your sealed houses, while this house lieth waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Now, I know what some of you are thinking right now. About the only way you've ever heard this preached on is a gimme sermon, right? Yeah, you need to sow all your money into the kingdom of God and quit building your fancy houses and so on and so forth. But nope, you're going to miss it this time because that's not what I'm talking about, okay? It is true. It is true that God's people don't seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, so that all these other things just naturally come by the grace of God. That is so true. But I want you to see a parable here. Something's been happening in the last many months. A great move of the Lord has been happening in the last many months. You know that the greatest church growth out there is the home church. The church is exploding right now. But you know what? It's not in the old sects or denominations of Christianity. It's exploding in home churches. A lot of the people are coming out of their apostate religious systems. And You know what the background is of Haggai here? Is that the people of God had just come out of Babylon. At least these people had. I mean, not the greater group, but these people had. And their leadership was Zerubbabel and Joshua, or Jesus. And they were coming out of Babylon. And, of course, the first thing they started to do was to build their own houses. Let me remind you of something that's just history, okay? Do you know that some of the denominations, the mainline denominations of Christianity, started out in just a blaze of glory? The power of God was in them. The gifts of the Holy Spirit were in them. The leadership was filled with the Spirit and believed in the gifts of the Spirit and prophesied and spoke in tongues and all these things. I've read the history. And yet, these denominations today deny every bit of that. And you know what? Multitudes for many years have been filtering out of these denominations that deny the power of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and the Lord Himself. They deny it. But when these brethren get revelation that all of this is still true today, they start coming out from among them. But that's not the end of the story. Do you know what happened and what has happened in history when they've come out from among them? They turn around and build another one. You know, there was the churches of God and the churches of Christ, the Spirit-filled churches of Christ. And then there was the Pentecostals and the assemblies of God. You know what happened, folks? They decided to come out of those old dead religions and start another denomination. Now you know what's happening to those old line Pentecostal-type religions, full gospel-type religions? They're all dying. Because the problem is they're still building their own house. They're not building the house of the Lord. And God turns away from them. Right now, there are, like I said, there's an explosion in house churches, not just in the United States, around the world. People are coming out around the world. And you know what they're in danger of doing? Building their own house. That's what was happening right here. Oh yeah, I know, they tell you. This is the house of the Lord. But there's only one house of the Lord. Did you know that? There's not many houses of the Lord. All those that they call the house of the Lord, that's just a block, brick, tin building. That's all that is. It's not the house of the Lord. They're building their own house, putting the name of the, calling it the house of the Lord, right? Let me read a little bit more. Thus saith the Lord, verse 7. Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. The house. There's only one house of the Lord. Jesus said, they shall be one flock and one shepherd. And that's where we're headed, folks. In Jesus' day, the denominations of Judaism, they all spoke against him. And they made war against him. But those disciples that walked with him came out of all those denominations in order to follow the Lamb. And when he was speaking to this little flock, he said, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. And he said, they will hear, and they will come, and they will be one flock with one shepherd. In other words, one house of God. God is building one house. All those others out there, that's the houses of men that they're building, while God's house lies desolate. See, God's house was destroyed when God's people went to Babylon in the first place. Because of their apostasy, God's house was destroyed, and they were taken captive to Babylonish religion, spiritually speaking. And now, in Haggai, they're coming out of Babylonish religion, supposedly to come back and build the house of the Lord. But I want to tell you that a lot of the people that are coming out are attempting to start again, building something that they don't know what the house of the Lord looks like. So they're building something that's probably a little bit better than what they're coming out of, but it's going to have the same end. See? So he says, go up to the mountain. You know what the mountain is? The mountain is the kingdom of God. Yeah, I know. All the churches claim that they're in the kingdom of God or on the kingdom of God, but there's only one church on the kingdom of God, on Mount Zion, and that's God's temple. Only one. There is only one. And all the sects, S-E-C-T-S, and divisions are called works of the flesh by the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 5. And our God says, come out from among them and be ye separate. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You looked for much, but lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it, or blew it away, actually. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that lieth waste, while you run every man to his own house. Again, most of Christianity is caught up in the houses of men. See, the Bible tells us in Galatians 5 that God didn't build denominations. Men did. Like Jesus said, Father, I pray that they may be one as we are one. Jesus is going to have his prayer. It's going to be fulfilled because he prayed it in faith. And they're going to be one flock and one shepherd. In these days, just as it was in Jesus' day, the come-outers are going to come out and follow the Lamb. Those disciples came out of all the apostate denominations of Judaism, and they followed the Lamb. They became one in him. And once again, the man-child ministry is going to do just that. That's what Zerubbabel represents here. Born from Babylon. He was the first fruits from Babylon. See? But not the only fruits. And these multitudes that are coming out, some of them don't know any better but to build their own house. They don't know, hey, we've come here to build the house of the Lord. Do you know why they're coming out right now? To build the house of the Lord. But they don't know how to do that in many cases. He said, because of my house that lieth waste, while you run every man to his own house. Therefore, for your sake, the heavens will withhold the dew, and the earth withholdeth its fruit. Do you know what God's going to do with those that are building their own house? He's going to dry them up, folks. He's going to dry them up so people will depart from them. There won't be any anointing there. There won't be any word there. It'll be just dead, dead religion. God's going to do that. You watch and see. Verse 11, and I call for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains. Not the mountain, the mountains, right? And upon the grain and upon the new wine. You know what the grain, it's the word of God, right? And the wine is the nature. It should be the nature of Jesus Christ. Because, you know, when they partook of the body and blood of Christ, the wine represented his blood or his nature. The life of the flesh is in the blood. But in some cases, it's not really the nature of Jesus that's being taught in the churches. And it's not really the grain. It's not really the word, the seed of the word that's being sown either. And upon the oil, and it's not the real anointing, the oil. And upon that which the ground bringeth forth. In other words, this stuff came from the earth. It didn't come from heaven. And upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people did fear before the Lord. You know what, folks? God is going to restore the fear of the Lord. We received a prophecy here recently, and you know that sometimes the Bible, not sometimes, but all the time, the Bible says that we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. We prophesy in part. So sometimes you get prophecies from people, especially when they're starting into the gift of prophecy, that maybe a little bit of them in there, you know? But I'm going to tell you something. There's parts of this prophecy that bore witness to me as the word of the Lord. I could see some parts that were added in, and actually history has proven that was true. But God spoke to this this girl, I'm going to read part of it to you. It says, the Lord woke my daughter up at 2 a.m., June the 10th, and he spoke to her and said, awake and pray. She said that she was so tired that she started praying while she was in bed. And he then said, arise, I want you to hear me. She got up and started to pray. And as she started to pray, the Lord began to speak to her. He said, read Haggai, and as you read it, I will speak to you. Well, isn't it true, folks? I mean, there's nothing wrong with reading Haggai. Let me tell you, it's the word of the Lord. But you can misinterpret parts of Haggai, and in this prophecy, there was some misinterpretation. But the thing that God said in this prophecy is that he was going to bring judgment, and he was going to do it in order to build the house of God. I'm going to read some more of it. This is what the Lord said to her as she read through the chapter of Haggai. In her words, as I write from her prayer journal, Haggai is what the Lord told me to read, and I believe he was saying things that are going to happen. Well, anyway, this young girl, I think she was 17 years old, she saw this date and she thought, well, that's what God's saying. Well, maybe he is, but that date is not, obviously wasn't June 24th. But here's the good part. Listen to what I'm saying here. He says, we will be afraid, but the Lord says, fear not, for I am with you. This will be a renewing of his temple. He's making our temple stronger because many will flood to his temple and finally call to his name. Hey, you know what? That's what I've been saying for a long time, is that we're on the verge of a great revival. Judgment's going to come, and then people are going to come flooding into the church. Well, they're going to be flooding into the church buildings. Well, they're going to be flooding into these denominations mostly. But a chosen group of them is going to outgrow that religion, just like a lot of you that are listening to me have already. They're going to outgrow that, so it's okay. You just pray for them. God will finish the good work, right? We were born in Babylon, just like Zerubbabel was. His name means born from Babylon. We were all born in Babylon, you know. But thank God we don't have to stay there. So what she said here is exactly what the Lord's been telling me, you know, that the temple is going to be stronger because of judgments that are going to come upon the earth and restore the fear of the Lord to God's people. That's what the fear of the Lord is, the beginning of wisdom. People don't repent. They don't respect the word unless they have the fear of the Lord. She said, he's making our temple stronger because many will flood to his temple and finally call to his name. Do you know that's the only place you can call upon his name is the real temple? I mean, if you go to Jeremiah chapter 3, a while back we studied how that God's people were coming out of the land of the north. He said to them in Jeremiah 3 and 12, go and proclaim these words towards the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will look, and I will not look in anger upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. See, coming out of the north was coming out of captivity to Babylon. You see, and they were returning. Verse 14, he said, return, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am a husband unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass that when you are multiplied and increased in the land in those days, saith the Lord, that they shall say no more the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they miss it, neither shall it be made any more. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord. Now you know the Ark of the Covenant, right? The mercy seat. It was in the Holy of Holies in their Old Testament temple. But what he's saying here is, hey, all of Jerusalem's going to be the throne of the Lord now. See, God's giving us a new temple. Did you know, if you go to Revelation chapter 21 and chapter verse 22, it says that the new Jerusalem, by the way, the Bible says, is coming down out of heaven from God. It's being born from above. It's the bride. It's the people of God. Where's the bride, folks? She's on the earth right now. She's being born again, spirit, soul, and then ultimately body. And that body is going to come down out of heaven when the Lord returns. And that's what they're looking at in the book of Revelation, seeing the world, seeing the New Jerusalem come down out of heaven. But they don't know that the spirit and soul of that city is being regenerated now in the earth. Well, anyway, Revelation 21 and 22 tells us that there is no temple in that city. Jesus and his Father are the temple of that city. That city is the temple of God. And it tells us here in verse 17, at that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it. That's the Gentiles are coming to this temple, this Jerusalem, the Gentiles. The word nations is Gentiles. That's happening now, folks. We're coming out of Babylon. We're going to Zion. And all the nations shall be gathered unto it to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. You see what Jerusalem is now? It's the name of the Lord. You know what the name word name means? It means nature, character, and authority of the Lord. See what Babylon has? They have a false Jesus. It's not his nature, it's not his character, and there's no authority there. See, Jesus passed on to his disciples authority. See? And guess what? When you come into the name of the Lord, he proclaims the name of the Lord to Jerusalem, neither shall they walk any more after the stubbornness of their evil heart. Wow, that's a good promise. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I gave for an inheritance unto your fathers. Now here's the point, folks. When you come out of Babylon and go to Zion, don't start building that same old denomination again. Forget it. If you don't know what you're doing, just stop. Don't do anything. Don't build the houses of men anymore. Cease. See? There is, we're all belong to one of these tribes, but the fact that this is the Gentile church is very plain in the next verse, verse 19. He said, "You shall call me my father." Israel never called him their father. They got very offended when Jesus called him his father. This is the church that calls our Most High God Father. And he says, "Surely as a wife treacherously departs from her husband, so have you treacherously departed from me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord." In other words, they became a harlot. The church became a harlot too. And the next couple of chapters are very, very, very plain about the church returning. In fact, you know it's the church in chapter 4 and verse 4 when he says, "Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskin of your heart." What did Paul say in Romans chapter 2? That's the church. Those that are circumcised in heart is the church. Not in flesh, but in the heart is the church. The New Testament Israel. So, when you talk about the name of the Lord, the Bible says in Proverbs 18:10, it says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in and are made safe," or set on high, it says. And in Micah chapter 4 and verse 8, you know what it tells us the tower is? Zion, the tower of the flock. The place of safety that we have to run to and build is Zion, the tower of the flock. Now, folks, we're coming out of Babylon. We're coming out of religious foolishness. Confusion, that's what Babylon means, right? We're coming out, and we're going back to build Zion. Let's don't build our own houses anymore. You know, since we started having these radio programs, I've had several groups contact me, or people in groups contact me, and say that they're using our materials. And in their Bible studies, in their home groups, in their Bible studies, they're listening to our materials on MP3s, or they're listening to the broadcast on Wednesdays or Sundays. You know, just because you walk out of the buildings of Babylon doesn't mean you've departed from Babylon. You understand? Walking out of the buildings is good, but then you got to get Babylon out of you, right? And let me read a little bit more of Haggai's revelation here. "Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger unto the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord, And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. In the 24th day of the month, in the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king. Now, as you know, Cyrus and Darius and then Ahasuerus all made edicts to go back and rebuild the city of God. And mostly Darius and Ahasuerus were, or Xerxes, fulfilled Cyrus's original edict to do this. And verse 2, in the 7th month, in the 21st day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, who is left among you that saw this house in its former glory? This is important, folks. You don't know what to build unless the Lord gives you a vision of the house in its former glory. You know, Isaiah said, they'll hear a word behind them saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And you know what he's talking about? Is that we've departed from the word of God as it was given. The Bible says, contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. That's what we have to do, folks. We left it behind. We have to go back and pick it up. Forget about religion. They're not going to do that. No denomination followed Jesus, and none of them are going to follow him today. Don't worry that they're not going. You just go. Go back and pick it up. Pick up the word. Start obeying the word. Because God never departed from any of that. He called it an eternal covenant. Men departed from it. So who is left among you that saw this house in its former glory? And how do you see it? How do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes as nothing? Yeah, we're starting from scratch here to build the city of God, folks. The true temple of God. We're starting to build it. And it doesn't look like much. I mean, the glitter and glory of Babylon, look at all the fine churches and all the organization that they have and the preachers that are so pretty, you know? But here we are sitting in the wilderness. But when God gets through, folks, it's going to be greater than the former glory. That's what he's about to tell you here. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord. Yea, and be strong, O Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord. And work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit abode among you. Fear ye not, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is but a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea, and the dry land, and I will shake all nations. You see, folks, this is what is going to bring the people of God running out of Babylon, the true people of God. I'm not talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and their followers. They're never going to come out. But the true people of God are going to come running out of Babylon when they see it's the end time and they gain a respect for the word of God and a fear of God himself. And they're going to go back and reexamine all this stuff. And when they hear truth, it'll be important to them. Right now, people are proud. You share truth with them and they can just, you know, prosperity, peace, you know, they can just take it or leave it. But suddenly, people are very careful with God when he starts shaking heaven and earth. And that's what Misty's daughter here, shared, that these multitudes of people are going to come out when judgment starts falling. And this is exactly what's going to happen. I will shake heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations. And the precious things of all nations shall come. Actually, the word there is the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. You know who the desire of all nations, those nations that are coming to the Lord, It is the Lord himself. We're not talking about precious things here. We're talking about the Lord filling his temple. The Lord glorifying himself in his people. Like 2 Corinthians 3:18 says. 2 Corinthians 3:18 is great because it preaches the gospel in a nutshell. And it says, we all with an unveiled face behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory. The same image from glory to glory as from the Lord the Spirit. So God's planning on manifesting Jesus, as we talked last time, in his people, in his first fruits, and then in his ingathering harvest. He's planning on manifesting himself. And the house will be filled with his glory. And verse 8 says, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Will I give peace? In this place will I give peace. Well, now he's going to shake all the nations. How in the world is there going to be peace in Zion? He's going to shake all the nations. Well, for one thing, the latter glory of this house is going to be greater than the former. The former glory we read about in the book of Acts. You read about the church there, the glorious church that was built there. How the disciples walked in the image of Jesus Christ. And what is God saying today? Well, he's telling you that it's not safe anywhere but where the name of the Lord is. It's not safe anywhere but in Zion. I'm going to read to you Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 5. It says, declare ye in Judah and publish in Jerusalem and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land and cry aloud, say, assemble yourselves and let us all go into the fortified city. Set up a standard toward Zion. Flee for safety. Stay not, for I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. A lion is gone up from his thicket, and a destroyer of nations. He is on his way. He's gone forth from his place to make the land desolate, that the cities can be laid waste without inhabitant. You say, is that the Lion of Judah? Well, you might say that, but he's not coming as himself here. He's coming as the Lion of Babylon. The Lion of Babylon is going to destroy. It's going to come against the house of the Lord. It's going to come to destroy. And as you know, the beast is going to devour the harlot, those people who are apostate. He tells us to flee to Zion. Set up a standard towards Zion. Flee for safety. Stay not. Listen, the true house of the Lord where his name dwells. Did you know that that's what he said? He said he made his name to dwell in Jerusalem. Where his name, which means nature, character, and authority, where it dwells, that's the place of safety. God's going to once again build the city of God. It's going to be his new temple. It's going to be his throne. The whole thing is going to be his throne. And that's what we have to do. We have to build the city of God. It's a place of safety. The Lord showed this city to me twice. He showed me that tower. He took me and showed me that tower years ago, almost, well, it was a little over 20 years ago now. He showed me my ministry was to build that tower, Zion, the tower of the flock. It's a place of safety, place of protection. You see, there's not going to be any protection in the houses of man. No protection from the curses that are coming upon this world, the plagues that are coming upon this world. You know that the Apostle Paul in Colossians said, whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's abiding in the name, the nature, character, and authority of Jesus Christ. That's where safety is, folks. That's where Zion is. So the latter glory of this house will be greater than the former glory. And actually, greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto the Father, Jesus said. Let's read a little bit more. Verse 10 of chapter 2. In the 24th day of the ninth month, In the second year of Darius came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Ask now the priests concerning the law, saying, If one bear holy flesh in his skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread, or pottage, or wine, or oil, or any food, shall it become holy? And the priest answered and said, No. Then said Haggai, If one that is unclean by reason of a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, It shall be unclean. Verse 14, Then answered Haggai and said, So is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord. And so is every work of their hands. That which they offer there is unclean. What is he saying here? What's a dead body? You know what? If you're a child of God, which these people were, a dead body is your old man. You know what sanctification is called in the New Testament? It means separation, separation. What is it that we need to be separate from? We need to be separate from the old man, the old dead man. If you touch that old man, you're not separate. You're not sanctified, right? In other words, if you do the works of the old man, listen to the old man, walk in the old man, let the old man live, you're touching a dead body there, folks, because he died with Christ. And the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, Wherefore, come ye out from among them and be separate. That's the meaning of sanctification or holiness. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord, the Bible says. Come out, come ye out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. What's the main thing that's unclean? Your old flesh. And I will receive you, and will be to you a father, and you shall be to me sons and daughters. Having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh. Don't touch dead flesh. What he's saying is the people, before they started building this temple, didn't know how to build this temple. And they were unholy, and they couldn't build this temple. I'm going to read that to you again in Haggai. He says, So is every work of their hands. What? It's unclean. It's defiled. And that which they offer there is unclean. Verse 15. And now I pray you, consider from this day and backward, before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord. See, what he's talking about is those people that came before, who built their own houses, don't know how to build the house of God. That's why God sent Zerubbabel and Joshua to build the real house of God. It's one. It's not an individual house. It's a corporate house, a worldwide house. They're not interested in temples. They're interested in building the temple of God, the city of God. So verse 16 says, Through all that time, when one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. In other words, you know what? The people who were building their own houses, they were under the curse. They were being plundered. God himself was the one that was doing it, and they didn't understand it. And when one came to a wine vat to draw out 50 vessels, there were but 20. And I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail and with all the work of your hands, yet you turned not to me, saith the Lord. You know what? In America, they have this Arminian doctrine. They don't believe in a sovereign God. So when something happens like 9-1-1, they say, God didn't do it. Well, you know what? America's about to get hit again. Worse than 9-1-1. But on top of that, God's going to send natural catastrophes. Because there are less people that believe that doesn't come from God. I'm talking about natural catastrophes like this the United States has never seen. They're coming to try to convince people that God sits on the throne, that Satan doesn't have a free hand, that God is the one who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that he uses vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. And yes, he smote America at 9-1-1, and he's fixing to smite America again, both natural and terrorists. Yet you turn not to me, saith the Lord. Consider, I pray you, from this day and backward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, since the day the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea. And the vine, and the fig tree, and the pomegranate, and the olive tree have not brought forth? From this day will I bless you. From the time they started building the true temple of God, the true blessings of God started coming, you see. What is it that they built the foundation of the Lord? Now, in 1 Corinthians, let me read this to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10. According to the grace of God, which was given unto me as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let each man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You see, all these houses of men, they're built on sand. They're all going to crumble. They'll all be gone very soon. But the house of the Lord is on solid rock. And the foundation is Jesus himself. But if any man buildeth on the foundation gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, and stubble, let each man's work be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Yeah, this is not an eternity, folks. This is on this earth during days, because he said the day shall declare it. No, they lied to you when they told you that God's going to burn up your wood, hay, and stubble in heaven. That's ridiculous. It's here that we go through the fiery trial to burn up that which doesn't belong on the foundation of God's temple. It's here that that's got to happen. For the day shall declare, because it is revealed in fire, and the fire itself shall prove each man's work what sort it is. And if any man's work shall abide that which he built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is through fire. So, when God burns up the wood, hay, and the stubble, the man will be saved. But God doesn't permit anything upon the foundation but Christ himself, the Word of God. God wants the Word built on the foundation of God, on the foundation of his temple. And obviously, Ephesians chapter 2 speaks of the house of God and the temple of God. Verse 19, so then you are no more strangers and sojourners, but your fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom each several building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. One temple, folks. One temple, and all of us have to fit together. In whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. Notice the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Did you know when you go to Revelation, what's the foundation of the city of God? The foundations, the 12 foundations, have the names of the apostles on them, of the city of God. And you know what? When the New Jerusalem's coming down out of heaven, he said, I saw the holy city of the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And he said, verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. The foundation of the temple is now Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem that Paul spoke about in Hebrews 12 that we've come to. But the foundation can only be the Word of God. It can only be Jesus himself. The foundation can only be that. And anybody else that's building anything other than that, they're just building their own house. If it's not the Word, it's their house. If it's the Word, it's God's house. And God said from the time they started building his house, which is founded on the apostles and the Word that came through them, that they were going to be blessed. Haggai 2 and verse 20 says, "And the word of the Lord came the second time unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month, saying, Speak unto Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations, and I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother." Notice, folks, when Moses was used of God to speak those words that brought judgment upon Egypt, Egypt was destroyed. And the horse and the rider continued to try to chase down the people of God. But God brought a devastating destruction upon them, saved the people of God. And God's going to do the same thing this time. Verse 23 says, "In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, I will take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts." See, this is God's sign. Zerubbabel is God's sign. Born from Babylon, come to Zion to build the true temple of God. But what was he doing? What were they doing? What was Haggai doing? Warning the people, don't you build your own houses. Don't you build your own houses. So folks, I'd like to say to a multitude of people that are now coming out from among them, they're seeing what's wrong with their old denominations, and they're coming out. Be careful. Don't start building something that you know how to build. Who's left among you that saw this house in its former glory? God only can build this temple. And any wood, hay, and stubble that you put in it, God will have to burn down. So flee Babylon. Flee, you know, not only the buildings, but what's in your heart of your ideas about God and his church government and what his church looks like. If you're coming out and you see something wrong, there's a lot more underneath that, folks. You know, if you go back and you study the reformers, most of them got a revelation, a right and a wonderful revelation. But if you read too much about the reformers, you find out that they still had a lot of Babylon in them. You see, they came to restore a revelation that God gave them a gift to give to his church. But they still had a lot of Babylon in them. And that's like you and me. I mean, when we walk out of the buildings, that doesn't mean that it's not still in us, you see. We have to get into the Word. We have to start building from the foundation up. We have to put the Word in our heart. We have to repent, change our mind. Let the Word be what we believe. Repentance means, by the way, change your mind, metanoeo. Change your mind to what? To the Word of God. We don't know what the former house looked like without the Word of God. Right now, most of the leaders of Christianity don't care what the former house looked like because they're not interested in building the true temple of God. They just want to build again their old sectarian, religious, failed system. But God's not going to permit that in these days for the people that are coming out of Babylon. He's just warning you, don't build something like you came out of. Wait. I mean, let God show you his apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists that will help you to see how to build this kingdom. You know, some of you have pulled aside and are having meetings in your homes, and yet the leadership there is not elders, which in the early church folks were apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. Some of you are not elders, not capable of leading people somewhere that they need to go. So again, once again, you have to put your trust in the Lord and ask the Lord to give you some guidance. I know around the world this is happening, and it's a wonderful thing because God's preparing his church for a wilderness. He's preparing them to, in a way, go underground. because a great persecution is coming against the church. And America is going to be behind it, believe it or not. You notice it was a lion that was coming up against the people of God. And in Amos, he said an eagle. In both cases, he said to blow the trumpet because a lion was coming against the people of God and the eagle. You know what the lion that is an eagle is? Babylon, the lion with the eagle's wings. See, God is going to raise up Babylon against the people of God. But that's okay, because God is going to bring unity out of this. He's going to bring cleansing out of this. He's going to separate the wheat from the tares out of this. God is working everything together for our good. Isn't it great to know that God is sovereign? That even the devil has to get permission, like he did in the book of Job, to try you. Isn't it great to know that God's plan is perfect and he can do exactly what he wants? He will do exactly as he pleases. And nothing out of the ordinary is coming to your life. The fire is coming from God. It's to burn up the wood, hay, and the stubble. Don't think that God forsaken you. He hasn't. He's just burning up wood, hay, and stubble. Because the only thing he wants is the gold and the silver and the precious stones in his temple. Everything that we've built has to fail. It has to fail. And it will fail. But Haggai is being fulfilled right now, folks. Multitudes of people are coming out. And it's exciting. These are going to be the most exciting days on the face of the earth. The provision that God's going to make for his people who dwell in Zion, in the tower of the flock. The Lord showed me that tower years and years ago. He took me to it in a vision. And I looked from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, where I lived, down the interstate, and I saw that tower right here in Pensacola. Just my little part of the tower to build, right? I mean, obviously, God's building this everywhere. But what he's saying is, flee Babylon, run to the tower of the flock. Zion is the tower of the flock. It's a place of safety. The beast is coming against the people of God. It's the only place of safety. When God's people ran to Zion, they escaped the beast. It didn't happen with Babylon because Zion itself had become corrupt and God had to destroy it. But you know, when they came back, it was the new Jerusalem that they were building, the new Zion that they were building. The first one had been destroyed. And so it is in our day. We're not building a building over there in the Middle East, folks. Just forget about it. If they build a temple, that's fine. It has nothing to do with the city that we're building.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to unleavenedbreadministries.org. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-16-16, Montgomery, Alabama 36123.
Quench my thirsting soul. Pure as water, make me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, what will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red and white. Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Sacred Heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe.
For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh, Jesus, my Lord Jesus. Jesus, I trust in you.